Welcome, everyone. You are listening to the LifePoint Christian Church podcast. Let's get started.
Has anyone here ever been lost? Raise your hand. Anybody? Okay. A lot of us, right? We've been there. So recently I was in Boston with a bunch of church planters, coaching them and meeting with a pastor there. And they told me about this great pastry place called Mike's Pastry. And so you know that, okay? So there's a few locations. And so I was like, well, I like cookies and pastries and all that kind of stuff. So of course I have to go there. So I plug in the coordinates. It wasn't the downtown one. It was a different one. And so I plug in the coordinates. And when they designed Boston, you know, 400 years ago, it wasn't designed for modern day. And I don't know if you've ever been there. I had never been there before. The streets are unbelievable, and they make no sense. And you like you turn in front of turns and the turns and this and that. And so I am trying to follow the GPS, and I go down the street. I think it tells me to go down. And then I'm going the wrong direction. And then it says, as it often does with me, and especially in cities like that, recalculating. That ever happened to you, right? Recalculating. And this must have happened like 10 times trying to find Mike's Pastry. And so I kept looking and kept trying, and I just, you know, my pride wouldn't let me pull over and talk to someone and say, hey, where is this? And recalculating, recalculating. No matter how much I tried, I had no idea how to get from here to there, no matter how much I tried. I eventually found it, and it took a long time, but, you know, had a few pastries, a few boxes of pastries. I thought of showing you some pictures, but I thought it best not for you to not see what I enjoyed. But anyway, so I didn't know how to get from here to there, and that's what it's like for so many people who want to know the plan for their life. The direction for their life, God's will for their life. We want a life that matters. We want to make good decisions and right decisions, and we want to make decisions that God wants us to make and decisions that God has for us. We want to get to the end of our life and say, man, I didn't waste my life. I lived it the way God wanted me to live it. I just have absolutely no idea how to get from here or how to get from here to there to that place. So what do we do? Well, if I know what I do with I want to go to Mike's Pastries, I plug in the GPS coordinates. How do we do that with God? Well, we might pray and go to God in prayer and ask God to speak to us. We might go to God and say, God, give me a sign. Show me something. God, we might say to God, God, I want to have some open doors, close certain doors and open other doors. And the doors that are closed, that means that's not your plan and will. And if you open a door, then that must be your plan and your will for me. We might even check our feelings and how am I feeling about something? Do I have a peace about something? Sometimes we do nothing until it becomes so obvious that we just can't miss it. And in the meantime, weeks become months, months become years, and here we are still sitting in the same parking lot going nowhere, waiting for God to tell us, which way do I go? Which way do I turn? How do I get there? Well, all of that can end right now today. Because Proverbs chapter 4 is going to give you and I something better than that, like, sign. That oh, the door opened right wide open. Proverbs 4 is going to give you and I a path. You need to know God's will for your life, God's direction for your life, how to make good choices and right choices. It's not some secret that you have to decode. It's not a door that you go through. It's a path that you actually have to walk. Now, of course, the Bible does use some door language. Jesus says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, he says, I stand at the door and knock. And in John chapter 10, verses 7 and 9, Jesus refers to himself as the door or the gate. But the door in Revelation chapter 3 and the gate or the door in John chapter 10, what are those about? Those are about access to Jesus. Those are about having a relationship with Jesus. You come into real life through Jesus. But door language, that is not a system for navigating your decisions in your life, knowing God's will for your life. So the door and the path, they're not competing ideas. They actually work together. You come to Jesus. That's the door, so to speak. You follow Jesus. That's the path. Here's the problem. The problem is that people take door language and they try to apply it to everyday decisions for the rest of their life. If I choose the wrong door, I'm in trouble. The rest of my life's messed up. If I choose the wrong door, if I don't go, if God wanted me to do this, but I didn't do this, and now I'm going here, that means everything else is a cascading effect of choosing the wrong door, and my life's a mess and a wreck. That's a terrible way to live life, and it's not scriptural. Because when you look at the primary language that the Bible uses to describe God's guidance in our life, God's directions for our life, it's overwhelmingly path language. Words like walk and step and way and direction and path, those type of words show up hundreds of times in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. The will of God, according to Scripture, is about the direction of your life, not so much the outcome of a single decision. And so we want to look in Proverbs and see what Solomon says about this, God's will, God's direction, God's plan for our life. As we think about it, is it being a path for us to be on and follow? We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 4. If you have a physical Bible, you can go there now or go to the YouVersion Bible app, Proverbs chapter 4. And we'll pick up in verse 11, and it tells us this. Solomon says to his son, he says, I have taught you the way of wisdom. And I want you to notice these words here. Path language. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble. If you were to continue reading through Proverbs, the words way and path continue to show up multiple times in the next few verses. And you'll notice here in this verse we just read and in upcoming verses that there are multiple promises to those who are on the right path. Those promises, including that our steps that we just read, they're not going to be hampered. That we're not going to find ourselves stumbling through life. That our path will be sure. And we're going to see that our path will actually get brighter and brighter for us the longer we're on the right path. So what is the right path? Solomon calls it the path of wisdom. The path of wisdom. Of course, the question becomes, then what is wisdom? I mean, we're talking about wisdom from the Psalms. First of all, or from Proverbs. First of all, wisdom is not a feeling. Wisdom is not some mystical experience reserved for the super spiritual among us. That's not what wisdom is. Wisdom is the accumulated, tested, proven knowledge of how life actually works. It's knowing how relationships thrive and what causes relationships to erode, and we'll see that throughout the Proverbs. It's knowing how, according to Proverbs, how character is built and how it falls apart and erodes. It's knowing how integrity works and how money works and words work and how time, how all of that actually impacts our life. Simply put, wisdom is living skillfully in God's world according to God's design. You and I living a life skillfully in all the areas of our life in God's world according to God's design. So practically, when you and I start to think about God's plan for our life, God's direction for our life, what does God have for me and how will I know? It means that we get on the path of wisdom, that we're walking in wisdom, as this series title suggests. And to live skillfully according to God's design, it means we're going to start asking questions, specific questions. Questions like, hey, what does Scripture actually say about this? Scripture, it's a light to our path. What do the wisest, most trusted people in our lives think? And what do they say to us? What does experience tell me that this specific path that I'm on, what does it tell me that where that will lead? Also, what kind of person is this forming in me? What kind of person am I becoming based on the decisions I'm making over time? That's the living skillfully filter. Is it true? Is it good? Is it godly? Is it wise? Not just, is it convenient for me? Not just, is this what I'm searching for is comfortable for me? It's not just what I think. Is it actually wise? Old Testament scholar Bruce Waltke argues that Solomon's obsession throughout Proverbs is not about giving his son a decision-making system. That's not what it's about. He's all about helping his son being formed into the right kind of person. Somebody who has good judgment and good character and who has discernment and who's able to naturally walk in the right direction. Solomon, according to Waltke, is all about pointing out that it's all about formation first. And when we're formed properly, then good decisions come out of our life and flow through our life. Kevin DeYoung, in his book, Finding God's Will, he actually makes the same case. And he says this. He says that most people, so he's talking about people like us, have turned the search for God's will into a mystical treasure hunt that Scripture simply doesn't tell us. His central point is that the Bible's vision for God's will for our life is far more about who you're becoming and far less about, oh, I got to choose the specific right door or my life's in trouble. In other words, the goal for you and I is to become the type of people who make wise choices because we are on the right path. And those wise choices eventually become more and more natural for us. Now, when you and I think about, hey, what's God's plan for my life? What's next for me? What's the direction for my life? How do I get from here to there? When it comes to God's will, there are all sorts of phrases that we tend to use in our lives. And I'm going to invite you to rethink about those phrases. Because those phrases are confusing you. They're confusing me. They're confusing us about how to actually walk the path of wisdom. So let's talk about a few of those for a moment. For example, you want to know what God's will for your life is. You want to know, hey, what's the right decision to do this or do this? Or where do I go? And how do I know? What does God have for me? Well, the first thing, one of the things that we often say is, well, I know what I'm doing. I'm praying about and I'm watching for the open doors. If God closes a door, that must not be God's will. If he opens a door, then that must be God's will for my life. Well, hold on. What about Jonah? Maybe you know the story of Jonah. God told him, hey, I want you to go preach to the Ninevites and tell them to repent and come to me and turn to me. Jonah wasn't interested in seeing people who weren't Jewish people come to God. So he rejected God's decision. He wasn't a fan. So what did he do? He went down to the port. Said, hey, you got any boats headed towards Tarshish, the opposite direction? They're like, absolutely we do. We got a boat. It's going getting ready to go right now. There's actually extra space, and since you just showed up and we have some space, I can even give you a discount on the ticket, and you can jump on board right now and join us. So he buys the ticket, boards the boat, and it was the most wrong decision that he could possibly make. The door was wide open for Jonah. The direction was completely wrong. I want you to think about that. A door can be wide open for you, but it can be completely wrong for your life. All an open door tells you is that something is possible, but it doesn't tell you if it's wise or if it's right. You can factor the door in, but run it through wisdom before you walk through that door. Make sense? Okay, let's think about this. There's another phrase that we will often say is, hey, how do I know God's direction? Well, I've been praying about it, and I have a peace about this decision. Okay, first of all, peace is definitely real. Scripture talks about it. The Spirit gives us peace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 says, the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So that is true. But is that the filter? Well, let's think about somebody else in Scripture who had a peace about her decision, and that's Eve. Maybe you know the story of Adam and Eve and the snake and the serpent and the tree and the fruit, right? Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 says, the fruit looked good, pleasing, and desirable to Eve. She wasn't anxious about eating the fruit. She had a peace about eating the forbidden fruit. And that peace that she had turned out to be the worst decision in human history. The Bible never says that the feeling of peace in our hearts should be the primary guide towards God's will. Peace can confirm a wise decision, but it doesn't replace a wise decision. Okay, let's talk about another one. One that I hear people say quite often. How do I know what God has for me? What's God's direction for me? Well, I've been praying about it. I'm seeking God. I've been trying to understand. And you know what? God told me. God said. Well, of course, God does speak to us. But you know what's also true? Every single one of us here, we get hunches, we get impressions, and we all have feelings, right? And not all of them are from God. Some of them might be from God. Some of them might be from the devil. Some of them might be this indoctrination we have from our culture's ways versus God's ways. And if that's what we focus on, cultural ways far more than God's ways, that these impressions might come to us, these feelings might come to us, these hunches might come to us because of what we are taking in and ingesting into our lives. And some of those impressions and feelings and hunches just might be last night's dinner. So I want to encourage you, do not hyper-spiritualize your intuition or your feelings or your hunches or your gut. When you say the phrase to somebody, you're in your small group and you've been thinking about, hey, is God wanting us to move? Are we supposed to put our kids in this school or that school? Whatever the topic is. You say, I've been praying about it and God told me and said, and then you fill in the blank. And everybody in your small group kind of looks at each other and they're like, that's definitely not God, because God wouldn't have you violate scripture. God, you know, like everybody's listening to this and like, well, you just said God said. And now they're sitting there in that small group thinking, well, I guess I can't say anything because they said God said. And so who am I to question God? It's a conversation stopper. It's you saying, I'm not really interested in wisdom and direction and counsel because God said. Was it really God? Was it really God? You know who didn't talk like that? One of the most spirit-filled men who's ever lived, and that's the Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 15, verse 28, he, along with another group of godly men that we call the Jerusalem Council, they sent word to another group of Christians, and here's the language they used. They used this language. It seemed, everybody say seemed. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. They didn't say, God commanded us from heaven to tell you. No. They said, it seemed good to us. That's a spirit-filled man and godly leaders making wise, humble, careful decisions. I want to encourage you to speak and to think and to act like Paul and that group of men. Paul also later said in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 5, he said this. He said, after I go through Macedonia, I will come to you, for I will be going through Macedonia. Perhaps, everybody say perhaps. Perhaps I will stay with you for a while or even spend the winter so that you can help me on my journey wherever I am going. For I do not want to see you now and only make a passing visit. I hope, everybody say hope. I hope to spend time with you if the Lord permits. Did you catch it? Perhaps, hope, if the Lord permits. That's not a man getting divine GPS coordinates downloaded from heaven for every single decision in his life. What is that? It's a spirit-filled man making wise, humble, tentative plans, holding them loosely, moving forward, and trusting God in the process. See, I would encourage you to speak like, to think like, and to act like Paul. And by the way, you can be on the right path in God's will and it not go smoothly. What are you talking about? Pastor, I thought, like, if I'm in God's will and I'm doing the God's will, God's way, then I'm going to be blessed and life's going to be good for me. Well, Paul went on and he said this in the next verse in Corinthians, verse 8. He said, but I'll stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost because a great door for effective work has opened to me. So he saw that. And there are many who oppose me. Don't miss that. Paul sees an open door. So he does see the open door. But he also, in the very same breath, mentions fierce opposition. Open door? Adversaries? Both at the same time? Which means that an open door doesn't even guarantee a smooth road. Challenges, hardships, difficulty, they are not guaranteed signs that you're either on the right or the wrong path. Sometimes they can be. But that is why it's so important for you and I to be on this path of wisdom so that we can know the difference. So here's how Paul operated. He made plans, loosely, almost tentatively, if you will, humble plans. He held them loosely. He walked through open doors, but with eyes wide open, recognizing that it doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect. He factored in wisdom and circumstances and counsel, and then Paul moved. Not because God sent him a sign. Not because Paul had a peace about it. Not because God spoke to him, but because he was a person of wisdom who was walking a path. That's what it can look like for you and I to walk in wisdom. And Paul and Solomon is going to go on and say here in the next verses, he's going to say, when you think about walking a path, there's a couple different paths you can walk. There's the path of the wise and the path of the foolish or the wicked. He goes on, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14, he says this, do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the ways of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong, and they are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. That's how bad they are. They're so messed up on such a bad path, man. They got to do mischievous stuff to even have a good night's sleep. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness, and they don't even know over what they stumble. You and I have two different paths we can choose from. And what did Solomon just say? He said, one of those paths will get brighter and brighter the longer you're on that path. And he said, one of those paths will get darker and darker for you. In other words, the path you are on shapes your ability to actually see. It shapes your ability to discern. It shapes your ability to know what God has for you. The path you're on can be clear and clearer more and more each day, or it can be dark and unclear. Which path are you on? You choose the wise path. You stay on that path, which includes things like having honest conversations and taking Scripture seriously and surrounding yourself with people of character. When you're on that path, Solomon just said, man, your perception will get sharper. Your judgment will get better. It literally, he says, compounds over time. Verse 18, it'll get brighter and brighter and shine brighter and brighter for you. What happens when you walk in compromise long enough? What does it say? The opposite happens. Slowly, gradually, your ability to perceive what's true erodes, and you eventually stop even seeing clearly. You will start justifying behaviors and actions and choices that actually used to bother you. You will find yourself starting to call darkness light because you will minimize the darkness. And one day, Scripture just said, you won't even know what you're stumbling over. Because now you're just totally in the dark and you can't even see anymore. Oh, let me illustrate the difference of these paths. Which one do you want to be on? In the 1990s, there was a cognitive psychologist named Gary Klein. And he spent years studying expert decision makers, because we're thinking about path and direction, and hey, I want to make good and wise and smart decisions. And he studied expert decision makers who were under pressure. And so here's the type of people he looked at and studied. He looked at firefighters, military commanders. He looked at ICU and ER docs and nurses, and then also chess grandmasters. He expected to find that the best choices, the best decisions came from them when they compared all of the options carefully in their life, when they would kind of take it all in and start to compare it. That's what he thought would happen in his studies, but it's not what happened. What he found out was that the experts almost never compared their options. That's interesting. He discovered that they look at a situation and they almost immediately perceive a course of action. Then they mentally stimulate it forward to see if that will hold. And if it does, they go. They proceed forward. They make the decision. You see, the right path, it's already visible to them. And Klein called this recognition-primed decision-making. And he said, the reason that these experts can do this, it's not because they're smarter or brighter than the rest of us. It's because they've logged thousands of hours on a particular path. And so what looks like intuition to those of us who are on the outside looking in at their decision-making, it was actually accumulated wisdom that was on their inside. All those hours on the right path, it shaped their instinct until good judgment almost became automatic. Let me say that again. All those hours on the right path, it ended up shaping their instincts until good judgment just became what they did and who they were. It became automatic for them. Solomon would say, that's exactly what I'm saying. That's right. That's what I'm talking about. And that's why Proverbs 4, it's not a decision-making system. It's a formation system. The goal isn't for you and I to make sure we pick the right door every time. Otherwise, our life is messed up, screwed up if we don't choose the right door. That's not the goal. The goal is to become the type of person for whom the right path is visible to us. And it gets more and more visible the longer we're on it, because we're walking in wisdom. You walk this path of wisdom long enough, and eventually it becomes instinctual. Good judgment just starts flowing out of you in all areas of your life. The door model asks you and I to say, hey, which choice is right? This door, this door. If I make this choice, I'm good. If I don't, then I'm not good. And then there's a cascading effect, and that's not good. That's a terrible way for you and I to make choices and to live our life. The biblical path model has you and I asking, no, it's not about the door. It's about what kind of person am I becoming? What kind of person are you becoming? It depends on the path that you are on. Your whole life right now is at stake. It just is today. Why? Because the path you are currently on, it is going somewhere. And so Solomon tells you and I, he tells his son, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26, ponder the path of your feet. Think about it, dwell on it, and then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Solomon say, ponder the path of your feet. That's how your ways can be sure. In other words, direction, not your intention or good intentions, determine your destination. Direction, not your intentions, determine your destination. Here's what I mean. Let's say that you and your family decide, hey, we are going to go up to Lake Tahoe for the weekend. And then you jump on the 5 South. Okay? Here's what I want you to think about. Does it matter that you really wanted to go to Tahoe? Does it matter that you prayed about it? And you prayed about going to Tahoe. Does it matter that God said to go to Tahoe? Does it matter that you had a peace about going to Tahoe? Does any of that matter? What's the answer? No. Because your destination is determined by the direction of your path and not the sincerity of your intentions. You jump on the 5 freeway going south, you will end up in SoCal and not South Shore. Guaranteed. You and I, we get that about driving. We understand that about driving. We're completely blind to it with our own lives. You intend for your kids to feel close to you when they're grown. So what's the path you're on right now? Oh, well, you know, I work 70, 80 hours a week and I never see my kids. Oh, okay. Where's that path going? You intend to have an amazing marriage when you're older. What path are you on right now? Well, I don't really spend time with my spouse. We don't really have date nights. We don't connect hardly ever. We're just two ships passing in the night. Oh, well, then where is that path going? You intend to be generous one day, but you're in debt up to your eyeballs. There's no margin in your life. Okay, well, where's that path headed? You intend to follow God wholeheartedly, but the actual direction of your daily inputs and your daily choices is pulling you somewhere else entirely. As Solomon said, you're swerving to the left and to the right. Your feet are pointed in a different direction. Okay, so where is that path headed relationally with God, spiritually with God? Direction, not your intention, determines your destination. And so Solomon says, ponder the path of your feet. Not just where you want to end up, but where you are actually headed right now. Listen, God's will for your life, it is not a secret you have to decode. It's a path that you choose to walk. And it's a path built on wisdom. The discipline of asking good and honest questions. What does Scripture say? That's where we start. Not some esoteric feeling and thoughts and wonders. What does Scripture say? Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. So that's just where we start, with Scripture. What does Scripture say? What do trusted men and women in my life say, who are good and godly men and women? Asking questions like, hey, where does this path that I'm on, where does it actually lead? What kind of person am I becoming based on the decisions that I'm making? What inputs are going into my life? Your path you're on is leading you somewhere. Are you on the right path? Are you on the path you want to be on? If it's the path of wisdom, eventually good judgment is just automatic. Your instincts, because the path gets brighter and brighter and brighter. Some of you are thinking, man, I've screwed up a lot. My path hasn't been good. I've been going the wrong direction. What about me? Well, you're out of luck. I can't help you. I'm kidding. Scripture has amazing news for you. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, you didn't think I'd quote from Lamentations on a Sunday morning, did you? It says this, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. And I love this. His mercies begin afresh. How often? Each morning, every morning. Today, right now, you can get on the right path. God's mercies begin afresh right now for you here today. Wisdom from God, it's there. It's available to you. You can get on that right path today. And it's a path that gets brighter and brighter and brighter for you the longer you're on the right path. Proverbs 4:18 again. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. You want to be on the right path? God's mercies are new. You can jump on it today. For some of you, today might be the first day that you jump on the right path in your life. Most of you are Jesus followers, and it's time to, you know, you've swayed. And God's saying, get back on the right path, get back on the right path. Follow the way of wisdom. But some of you, you've been trying to figure out God's will for your life. Is God real? I've tried church, I've been coming, I've tried religion and faith a little bit. You're trying to figure it out. Do you know the Bible is clear what God's will is for you? God tells us he desires that not a single person would perish, but all would come to eternal life in Christ Jesus. That's God's will for you. Jesus is the door, the gate, into eternal life, into forgiveness of sin. And then you walk a path with him the rest of your life. And so for some of you today, the most important decision you can make, God's will for you today, is that you would be saved. That you would say, I give my life to Jesus. Because Jesus paved the way for you that you can never pave for yourself. In fact, Jesus said this, I am the way, I'm the path, I'm the way, the truth, the life. Nobody comes to God but through me. So for some of you who've been trying to figure it out, today's your day of salvation. Today's your day. God will come into your life. He'll forgive you of your sins. He'll give you the gift of heaven. You want that? You want to get on the right path? It starts by bringing Jesus into your life. Let's talk to him about that now.
You can learn more about us by visiting us online at lifepoint.org. If you are ever in the Sacramento area, we would love to see you in person. Events and service times can be found on our website. Thank you for listening. And we hope you join us for our next episode.